Welcome to the Tapping World Summit 2010. This is your host, Jessica Ortner. By listening to this interview, you agree to the terms located at thetappingworldsummit.com/disclaimer. I hope this interview helps you become a healthier and a happier you. Enjoy. In this interview, you will learn and experience the 9 steps to turning your issues into allies. To lead the way, we'll be speaking to Jean Montrastelli. Jean is a Baltimore, Maryland-based practitioner. In addition to working with clients in one-on-one and groups, he loves teaching advanced tapping techniques. He is the editor of TappingQ&A.com. It's a real pleasure to have him. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you very much. Good to talk to you again.
Jean, this is a really interesting topic. Why do you feel that it's even possible for us to transform our issues, our problems into allies?
This is something that really transformed the way I did work for myself and the way I did work with my clients. And how it came about was I was learning how to do parts therapy. And in parts therapy, what we do is we take a specific issue and we find a way where we can have a conversation with the issue itself or a conversation with a part of our body, like a physical pain or our digestive system or any part at all. And in doing it, we can find out information. And as this parts stuff was being taught to me, it became very, very clear that every single time we bumped into something that we saw as a problem or as an issue, on some level, that particular part was actually motivated to take care of us. A very simple example. You know, oftentimes we think that we're very uncomfortable speaking in public. And so we get very, very nervous. Well, there's a part of us that actually believes in that circumstance that if we stand up and we fail, people are going to think poorly of us. And so the reason why we're afraid is it's something that's trying to take care of us. It's trying to keep us safe from ridicule. Now, oftentimes those fears aren't justified, but what it did is it helped me to recognize that every single time we bumped into one of these things that were holding us back, on some level, it was motivated by something that was trying to care for us. And once I made that connection, I found that it was much easier for us to do transformation when we approached it from that point of view. That in a long view, in a large picture, a particular issue might be holding us back because we're not able to achieve our goals or we're staying in a state that is unhealthy. But in the short term, if we're able to recognize what that issue's motivation is, it gives us the opportunity to work with us. Instead of being in a circumstance where we're constantly fighting our body and constantly fighting our issues, it gave us an opportunity to recognize that it was trying to help us. It just happened to be doing it in a way that wasn't helpful. And so it made it easier, and we'll see this when we do the example, when we had that conversation of getting the issue to transform and to become something else.
It sounds like a wonderful way to end self-judgment and criticism.
Absolutely. It's just so much gentler because we're working from the point of view that everything that is going on inside of our system is for our betterment. It just doesn't always do it. Sometimes it's protecting us from something that isn't really truly a threat, that we're in a circumstance that a person might be afraid of germs and bugs all over the place. And, you know, living in the Western world, there are bugs, there are disease, but it's not a circumstance where we need to be washing our hands hundreds of times a day. So it's protecting us from something that really isn't as big of a threat. Or it's trying to protect us from something that used to be in our past but isn't a threat now. It could be a relationship that we used to have that isn't happening right now. Or like the example I gave of the public speaking, it's trying to protect us in a way that isn't really helpful. It's protecting us in a way that's more harmful than good, from keeping us from speaking. And once we do that, then we're able to see that there's energy putting forward towards our betterment. And there are all of these parts of our system that really want what's good. And all we need to do is we need to transform them and educate them so they're making much better choices. And when that happens, we're not just eliminating something, but we're taking this part and we're transforming it from something that is harmful in the short term into something that becomes very beneficial over the long term.
Mm-hmm. When people really integrate this concept and they start to see how this is true, what do you find naturally begins to happen?
Well, the first thing that begins to happen is, like you said, is that sense of judgment and being easier with ourselves becomes much easier to do. And I think the most difficult thing we have as humans is to give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. That we look at the outcome, we look at our desires. When those two things don't match up, we get very frustrated with ourselves. And when we start to recognize that the choices we're making are trying to be choices that are for our good and for our betterment, it makes it easier for us to be easier with ourselves. And then the second thing that we notice right away is the things that are very highly emotionally charged begin to just immediately lose their charge, because instead of being an aggravation with it, we're being easy with it, and it makes it easier for us. Instead of being of two minds where we have two parts of us pulling in different directions, it's easier for us to be much more congruent in our thinking. And so making that transition becomes easier.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Well, now we're going to go through the 9 steps. And just to let the listeners know, we're going to talk through them so you understand each step. And then we'll actually get right into the experience and we'll be tapping along with Jean. Now, Jean, this is just so essential because the concept that you're sharing with us is so big that sometimes we hear something and we understand it intellectually, but we don't act upon it or we don't really feel it with our body. So these 9 steps are going to help us do just that. So let's get to the very first step.
Absolutely. And just as a side note, these first 2 steps, even if you aren't doing this specific process, these first 2 steps are steps I believe that in any tapping session that we do for any issue that we're dealing with should always be the first 2 steps that we take. And the first step is we need to clear our resistance to change. Then I'm constantly reminding my clients, if there wasn't resistance to change, we would have already made the change in our life. You know, we want to see a change happen, and if we're not making those steps, and obviously there's a resistance on some level. So the first thing that we need to do is we simply need to recognize that part of our system is resisting having the change. And there's a number of reasons that we could be resisting that. We could be resisting it because we don't know what different looks like, that I've lived with this particular issue for a very, very long time. And even if I get rid of this, I don't know what life looks like in a new way. Or I'm afraid that if I make this change, people are going to look at me in a different way and they're going to judge me because I'm not acting the way that they expected me to act in the past. We could fear the change because change is scary, you know. Even though right here is messy and it's gross, at least I know what's going on. And this unknown thing might be worse than that. So the junk I know might be better than the junk I don't know. And so even though it's uncomfortable now, we fear what's out there. And so if we just approach those 3 areas in a really general way before we start tapping, it makes it really, really simple. That first step of tapping is just clearing that resistance away. And what it will do is not only will it make it easier for us to do transformation, what I've also found is it helps us to be more specific about our issues because we've let go of the worry of the transformation and we can tune in specifically to the issue that it's hand.
Okay, great. And in a little while, we'll be putting this into action so people can see specifically how you take this and you use it with tapping.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. So with that, what is number 2?
So the second thing is, and this is almost a 1A, but I broke it off into a second step because it's so important. And that is to recognize that it's safe for us to heal. And that can be a resistance, that it's not safe for me to do this transformation. But I think it's really important that we break this out and we're really explicit about this. That many times we have a deep-rooted feeling that, as we talked about, these issues on some level think they're protecting us. And so the system is going to sometimes resist transformation because it doesn't want to let go of the tools that we use to manage the world. You know, the anxiety I feel in my stomach is my fight or flight sense that's keeping me safe. And the system worries that if I let go of that anxiety, that I might be in a circumstance where I'm just going to let bad things happen to me all the time. So it doesn't want to let go of that. So it doesn't feel safe to let go of the issue. So to speak really specifically to the fact that the system knows how to care for itself, and I have all of the tools and all the resources at my disposal, that it's safe for me to heal through this issue and to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Great. So again, these first two steps are something that you believe we should do with any form of tapping.
I think it's something that just, it opens things up. I've been in circumstances with clients where we have talked about an emotional charge that they have, and the emotional charge, well, just to start with, is 100%. And when we deal with the resistance to change and recognizing that it's safe to heal, sometimes as much as 70% of the emotional charge of a particular issue goes away, and we're just spending all of that energy in just worrying about the issue itself and how we transform. And when we let that go, it makes the healing process happen so much faster.
Brilliant. Great. So let's go to number three.
Yep. So the third step is simply tune into the issue that you'd like to see transformed or healed. And this, depending on, I mean, this is just really simple, basic. Whenever we're tapping on something, we want to have a good, clear sense of what is going on and what the issue is at hand. If it's a physical sensation, like it's a pain of some sort, then we just want to ask ourselves some questions about that pain and tune into it, and just do the stuff that you'll see in most of the basic tapping explanation. You know, trying to figure out what the size is, what the shape is, how much does it weigh, if it was made of another substance, what would it be made of, what color would you paint it, and just take time to just really tune in so you're driving all of your attention to the place of what's at hand. If it's something that's emotional, all we need to do is we just need to tune back into that emotional sense. If it's about an issue in the past, we can just simply replay that moment in our mind. If it's an emotional charge with a relationship we have, we can simply tune into the person that we have the relationship with. If it's about something that's happening in the future, I'm really worried about having to make this choice or make this move or see transformation in some way, I simply tune into what it is. So this is simply the step in which we are naming and getting as clear as possible the particular thing that we want to do the work on in this particular session.
Okay, so I have two questions regarding that.
Absolutely.
The first one is that so many people get hung up on whether they're tapping right and whether they're saying the right thing as they're tuning into their issue. What advice do you have for them?
Well, that's the beauty of this particular process. The process that we're using here is we're doing it in such a way where we're not going to have to come up with these magic words. That for us to have relief with tapping, two things need to happen. One is we need to tune into the issue at his hand. We need to give it our conscious attention. And two is we need to provide stimulus to the tapping points. Now, a very easy way for us to tune into these issues that are at hand are to come up with words and phrases to describe it, but that's not the only way to do it. And so in this particular circumstance, because of the technique that we're using here, we're going to be able to liberate ourselves from the necessity of coming up with specific words, because instead of coming up with words, as you see as the process unfolds, what we're going to do is we're actually going to have dialogue and conversation. And even if I don't have the specific words to describe what's going on when I'm tapping, I do know how to describe an issue to a friend of mine. And I do know how to ask a friend of mine about the problems that they're having. And so that's what we're going to be implementing in this.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned before that you can imagine it as a shape or a color. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, how that works?
Well, basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to get ourselves into a circumstance in which we're thinking about something as specifically as possible. And we'll take an example here that has nothing to do with tapping, but just to demonstrate the principle. What I'd like you to do is I would like you to think about when you were in grade school, when you were in third grade. Can you imagine what you look like when you were in third grade?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And I would like you to imagine the school that you went to when you were in third grade.
Yep.
Okay. And I want you to imagine the classroom that you were in third grade.
It's a little more difficult, but I can
okay.
do it.
Okay. And can you imagine what your teacher looked like when you were in third grade?
Yes. Mrs. Brown.
Excellent. And was there a particular way Mrs. Brown usually dressed?
Yes.
Okay. And do you remember some of the kid you sat around when you were in third grade?
Not specifically.
Okay. Can you remember where you sat in the classroom?
No.
Okay. What was your favorite subject when you were about that age?
Reading.
Okay. And do you remember a particular book about that age that you liked to read or a particular author?
Yes.
Okay. Who was that?
It was the American Girl books.
Excellent. So what we did here was we got you to tune in to a specific place and time. That we started with something general, you at a particular age, and by asking questions and investigating, what we were able to do was, in your mind's eye, you were able to create a clearer and clearer picture of what was going on. Let's say I would ask you to tune into, for an example, let's look at if you had a physical pain in your knee. So if you tuned into the physical pain in your knee, well, what type of pain is it? Is it an ache? Is it a sharp pain? Is it a strain? Is it a pull? Does it feel like something is stuck in there? Oftentimes when we're dealing with something physical, I'll ask a client, if you were to paint a picture, what color would you paint the pain in your knee? And on the surface, that sounds like a very silly color. But as we tune in, oftentimes reds and blues and browns immediately come to mind. The question, if I took the pain out of your hand and I held it in my hand, how much would it weigh? Again, all we're doing is we're asking questions of investigation that are helping us to tune in more and more specifically. And the more specific that we are tuned in, the more powerful our tapping is going to be.
Brilliant. Great. Thank you for that, Gene. Now, what is step number four?
Step number four is, if we are dealing with something emotional, is to locate it as a kinesthetic feeling. And all I mean by that is, if we're dealing with something emotional, is to find the physical feeling that we have in the body that goes along with that emotion. Because when it comes to doing the later steps where we're going to start having conversation with what is going on there, what it's going to allow us to do is it's going to give us a really specific, easy place to focus. And the things that we're going to tune into are going to be really, really common. You know, it's going to be butterflies in my stomach, or it's going to be anger. It's going to be the heat in my face, or it's going to be tightness in my shoulders. When we feel an emotion, it's more than just this intellectual thing and this wave of energy that passes over us, that we also have physical sensation that goes along with that. The same thing is true with happiness and euphoria. We feel light, we feel a spring in our step, we feel energy. And so all we're going to do is we're going to take this emotion that we have tuned into in the last step, and we're going to find the place that it is in the body physically, because this is going to create the place for us to have the conversation, to start drawing out information to allow the transformation to happen.
Okay, great. Now, what's the fifth step?
The fifth step is to give thanks for the presence of the system, the symptom, and the issue that is at hand. And oftentimes, this is the most difficult step for clients to do the first couple of times, because for us, it's very difficult for us to give thanks for something that is discomforting or something that is preventing us from moving forward.
Right.
And so the caveat that I provide here is, we are not giving thanks for the outcome, we're not giving thanks for the symptom, but what we're giving thanks for is the fact that there is a part of our system that is trying to take care of us. If we go back to the premise at the beginning of this conversation, that all of the issues that we have on some level are trying to take care of us, they just aren't necessarily doing a good job. And so by going in and tuning to the issue at hand and saying, I appreciate and thank, there's a part of my system that is trying to take care of me. When we do this, almost always, we're going to feel that diffuse. To give you an example from real life, if someone is really mad at you and they walk up to you and go, I'm really mad at you because you did this, this, and this. And if your response is anger back, what's going to happen is it's going to escalate. But if you do just the opposite, someone goes, I'm angry at you because of this, this, and this, and you respond, you know what? You're absolutely right. If I was in your shoes, I would be angry too, and I can understand why you're frustrated by this. You see their anger immediately dissipate because you've taken the energy out of them because there's nothing for them to fight against. And that's what we're doing in this step. Instead of taking a part of us that we're really angry at and getting into this conflict with it, what we're doing is we're recognizing its motivation. And by doing that, we're going to diffuse it. I mean, I encounter this all the time in weight loss. People are really angry at the weight that's on their body. And I can understand why you're really angry at this weight, because it's something that slows you down or it hurts your health. But if you turn to it in a different way and go, there's this extra weight on my body that in some way is trying to protect me, and I can appreciate how hard it's working in order for it to maintain in my body, it's amazing there's a part of me that's trying to work this hard. And in that example, we haven't said we're happy for the weight and we want to keep the weight, but by recognizing that it's trying to care for us, it diffuses the circumstance and it's going to allow us to gather information from it.
What about those who are hesitant to do this process because they feel if they're grateful for something, they'll just attract it more into their life?
Absolutely. And so what we do is when we're giving thanks, and when we do the demonstration later, we'll show this really specifically, we talk about the fact that I am thankful for the fact there's a part of me that is trying to care for me. And so we're going to bring into our life more parts of us that are trying to care for us. We're not saying, I'm really thankful I'm holding on to these extra 40 pounds. I'm really thankful that I'm angry all the time. I'm really thankful that I'm so frustrated I can't see straight. We're not doing that. And so we're not thanking for the symptoms. We're not thanking for the outcome. We're simply thanking for the motivation. And the motivation is care and well-being. And so if we keep tuning back into that sense of, I'm really grateful my system wants to take care of me. I'm really grateful the system wants to take care of me. We're going to continue to motivate the system to do that. And in this process, by taking away the adversarial relationship, we're giving ourselves the opportunity to then train and transform those parts so they actually do take care of us.
Great, great. Well, Gene, we are more than halfway there. What is number six?
Well, six kind of deals with what you were asking there, that, you know, we might be hesitant to give thanks for this. Well, the part might recognize that what we're trying to do is we're trying to transform it. And so there can be parts of us that are trying to take care of us, you know, the craving for the chocolate at night because it soothes my loneliness. Well, the system sees that as a real benefit, because when I eat the chocolate late at night, I don't feel lonely anymore. It's my comfort food. It feels better. So the next step is to assure the part that we're not trying to eliminate it. What we're trying to do instead is we're trying to transform it into something more helpful. So again, we're having a really specific conversation here with the issue. After we thank the part for trying so hard for being with us, we acknowledge to the part that we don't want to eliminate you. We recognize that you're working really hard for me, but instead what we want to do is we want to give you information and resources so you can take care of me. Perfect example of this. I was working with a client who had a part of him that was really beating up his self-esteem because of his weight issues. And the part existed because it wanted him to be better. And the way that it was being better is it created this internal dialogue saying, you're fat, you're fat, you're fat, thinking that that was a motivation. And instead, it was simply beating down the self-esteem. So once we were able to assure this part that we weren't trying to eliminate it, but we wanted it to use its power to help us, it went from the belittler to the encourager. And all of a sudden, this part was transformed into a part of his personality that encouraged him to exercise and encouraged him to make good, healthy eating choices, because there was already this really powerful part of him. I mean, that dialogue was nonstop inside of his head. And so by transforming it, change happened, and it was easier for that transformation to happen by reassuring the part in that conversation that this new way was better. So the part could achieve its goal, and me as a whole person could achieve my goal of being healthy and well-being.
That is so fascinating. Well, number seven is my personal favorite. What is it?
So we start asking the part questions. So we've recognized, we've given thanks for the fact that the part is there to serve us. We've then been in a circumstance where we've reassured the part that we're not trying to get rid of it. So now what we need to do is simply find out why it's there and what purpose it's trying to serve. Because on the surface, it can be hard for my conscious mind to recognize why I'm eating chocolate at night. You know, I just am really frustrated that I don't have control over my eating, and all of a sudden the TV's on and a half pack of Oreos are gone. So because we've developed this relationship with this part in this conversation by creating rapport, by giving thanks for it and recognizing we're not trying to eliminate it, we simply ask the part, what's it about? We ask it, you know, there are a number of questions we can ask. What's your purpose? What are you afraid of? What are you trying to protect me from? Why do you exist? And the information, it's really amazing because we've so systematically built up this little image and created this rapport with a part of ourselves, the information just simply comes pouring forward. And I love doing this with clients because oftentimes I'll say, okay, ask the part, what's its purpose? And then I hear the client chuckle. I'm like, well, what's so funny? Because they've gotten a piece of information that's really caught them off guard. And once they hear the piece of information, it makes perfect sense. And so the reason that we've been doing this process so step by step is for this moment right here. Because in this moment, what we're doing is releasing the conscious mind from trying to figure out why we have the issue at hand. And instead, we're letting the system give us the information. I mean, there's a common phenomenon of human beings is we do a really poor job in dealing with incomplete information. It's the reason why every single local newscast right before they go to commercial break say, come back after the commercial break and hear the three things you need to know about the local water supply. What they've done is they've stuck a question out there without an answer. What are the three things I need to know about the local water supply? And in doing that, I'm going to want to stick around to hear the answer because there's a part of me that doesn't deal well with incomplete information. Well, when it comes to our own issues, what we will do is we will come up with reasons why we have the issues. We'll say something like, you know, I have a really hard time speaking in public because when I was in third grade, I spoke in front of the class and everybody laughed at me. Now, that might very well be the reason that we have trouble speaking in public, but there could be another reason. But our conscious mind doesn't do well without having an answer. So our conscious mind comes up with one. By doing the seventh step, by tuning into the issue and asking the problem, the issue, why it's there, we're no longer dealing with our conscious mind, which might be right or might be wrong, and we're moving into the higher wisdom of the system. And we're letting the system tell us what the issue is at hand and what the underlying root is or what the underlying roots are. And so it's this really beautiful way of letting the system tell us what's going on so we don't have to figure it out. Again, it's liberating us from having to come up with the right phrase to deal with what's going on, because instead of us having to come up with it, we're letting us tell the system tell us where we need to go.
Great, Gene. So what is the eighth step?
So the eighth step is, now that we know what the issue is at hand, now what we do is we provide the resources to that part for what it needs. You know, we have just been told by a part of us that it's afraid of something, or it feels incomplete, or it doesn't feel loved, or whatever it is. It's now told us specifically what the need is. And so now this is where we provide the resources and the transformation to allow that to happen. And one of the really neat things about this process, because we have created this part and we've taken the issue and we've disassociated ourselves from it, it's much easier for us to provide those resources and that information for transformation. It's kind of like I can have a problem in my daily life and have no idea how to solve the problem, but I sit down and have a cup of coffee with a friend of mine and they can explain the exact same problem. And because I'm not emotionally entangled in it, I can say, well, you could try this, or you could try this, or you could try this, and can provide information. And so by doing this as a part here, what we've done is we've created a little disassociation for ourselves. And by creating that disassociation, instead of me trying to deal with this emotion that I'm feeling, I've been able to take this part of me that stated a really specific need. And in that place, this is where I start inserting the resources or providing the proof. You know, I don't feel like I'm good enough to be in the circumstance. That's what Mike the part said. And so one of the things we do is we just provide information from our past where we have been good enough in those places. But because we're disassociated, we're able to do that dispassionately without being caught up in the feeling of I'm not good enough.
Right. Right. Great. So then, Gene, what is the last step?
Last step is like any good process. It's simply we repeat the process. What we do is after we've gone as far as we can with the part is we simply go back to the third step, because more than likely we don't need to clear the resistance and we don't need to give ourselves permission to heal, that since we're in the middle of the process, we're there. But what we do is we tune back into the issue at hand after we've done this transformation. And one of three things are going to have happened. The first is the issue is going to completely have dissipated. And if the issue is completely dissipated, we're done with this and we can move on to something else, or we're done with our tapping session. The second thing is the symptom might feel exactly the same, but to a smaller degree. You know, kinesthetically before, it felt like a knot in my stomach, and now it feels like a knot that's about a third of the size. And so if it's a knot that's a third of the size, we just repeat the process and we go through it again, because when we go through it again, more than likely what we're going to do is we're going to find our way to more reasons and more aspects and more issues, and we just repeat the process. The third possibility is we will have a new or different kinesthetic feeling that goes with it. Before it was butterflies in my stomach, now it feels like a knot in my throat. Great, that's perfect. We've dissipated one part of it. We're just going to move on to another part of it. And we repeat the process again and simply just work through the processes again. And when we get to the end, you know, we get to this ninth step, we can repeat or we can decide, you know, I've done enough tapping for today and I'm going to come back to it later. But it's just something that we can recursively do over and over and over again as many times as we feel comfortable in a tapping session.
Great. Great, Gene. Now, I can imagine people listening to this and saying, this sounds amazing. It sounds great. They want to go through the nine steps, but how do they actually do it? So let's get into the actual tapping to give people an idea of how they can begin to really go through this process by themselves.
Absolutely. And what I would recommend you to do when you're doing this process the first couple of times that you do it, simply have the steps written down in front of you. It's the nice thing about the tapping stuff that we do. It's not like hypnosis where we need to go into this deep trance and not be distracted by anything. That we can do a step, we can refer to our notes, we can do a step, we can refer to our notes. And so I want you to be really easy with yourself the first couple of times you do the process. After you do it a couple of times, it's going to become second nature. You don't need to do anything else. But the reason we've broken it down into steps is to make it really, really simple to do. And so basically, we just go through it and we just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, get to the ninth step, go back and repeat it again.
Mm-hmm. And people can refer to the workbook.
Absolutely. And in the workbook, you know, it's all spelled out, not only the name of the step, but a brief description there as well. So you don't have to remember what clear resistance to change means. There's actually a definition. So it's just take the notes, work through them.
Wonderful. Great. So let's get started.
Great. So basically what we're going to do is we're just going to demonstrate each of the steps so you get a sense of what they feel like. And when we get down into the seventh and eighth step, what we'll do is we'll just go through a number of case histories where I've actually done things with clients so you can see a number of different approaches.
Okay.
So the first step is simply to clear resistance to change. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to lead you on tapping. I'm going to tell you where to tap. I'm going to tell you what to say. And I'll just give you a little space. If you just want to tap along with us right now, you can certainly do that. So step one is clear resistance to change. So to start out with, just simply tap on the side of your hands and take a nice big deep breath. Right there on the karate chop point. And take another nice big deep breath. And as you tap on the eyebrow, just repeat after me. Sometimes change is scary.
Sometimes change is scary.
Side of the eye. Sometimes change is difficult.
Sometimes change is difficult.
Under the eye. Because when I change.
Because when I change.
Under the nose. Sometimes I'm exposed to new things.
Sometimes I'm exposed to new things.
Chin. That I don't necessarily know how to deal with.
That I don't necessarily know how to deal with.
Collarbone. And that can be a scary thing.
And that can be a scary thing.
Under the arm. Other times when I change.
Other times when I change.
Tap on the eyebrow point. I change the way people see me.
I change the way people see me.
Side of the eye. And I confront their expectations of me.
And I confront their expectations of me.
Under the eye, which can be difficult for them.
Which can be difficult for them.
Under the nose. And so I might resist change.
And so I might resist change.
Chin, because I know it's going to make those relationships more difficult.
Because I know it's going to make those relationships more difficult.
Collarbone. And sometimes I resist change.
And sometimes I resist change.
Under the arm. Because I know how to manage what's going on right now.
Because I know how to manage what's going on right now.
Eyebrow. It might not be perfect.
It might not be perfect.
Side of the eye. But it's not a surprise.
But it's not a surprise.
Under the eye. And so I can deal with it day to day.
And so I can deal with it day to day.
Under the nose. And if I change.
And if I change.
Chin. I might not know how to manage that.
I might not know how to manage that.
Collarbone. But I give myself permission to know.
But I give myself permission to know.
Under the arm. That if I change.
That if I change.
Eyebrow. And I don't like it.
And I don't like it.
Side of the eye. I can always change back.
I can always change back.
Under the eye. And I know many times in my life.
And I know many times in my life.
Under the nose. When I made a change.
When I made a change.
Chin. It wasn't necessarily easy.
It wasn't necessarily easy.
Collarbone. But in the long term, it was for good.
But in the long term, it was for good.
And really, that's all we need to do. And you don't even need to spend as much time as we did there. If you know specifically why you're kind of worried about change, then you can tune into it. But just going through that simple step, what it does is it just relaxes us and it makes it easier for us to step into the process.
Do you find that you have to be completely, like you have to completely clear the resistance to change before you start?
No, you just need to clear the resistance to change enough for you to actually to start.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Yeah. Don't feel like you need to get all your resistance to change out of the way. It's really interesting. I mean, part of the reason that people work with practitioners is because one of the ways they get past their resistance is they're simply doing what the practitioner is telling them what to do. And so that's a way to get past the resistance to jump in. It's kind of like jumping into the lake or a swimming pool in the spring where it's still cold. The worst part is that getting into it, but once you're into it, even though it's cold, you keep going and you stay with it. This is the exact same thing. We just want to clear enough resistance so it's easier for us to pass into this and easier for us. We don't need to completely eliminate it.
All right, brilliant. So let's start tapping on the safe, knowing that it's safe to heal.
Absolutely. So once again, just start at the side of your hands, take a nice big deep breath, and just repeat after me. Sometimes it doesn't feel safe for me to heal.
Sometimes it doesn't feel safe for me to heal.
Eyebrow. Sometimes I'm worried there are consequences for healing.
Sometimes I'm worried there's consequence for healing.
Side of the eye. But the nice thing about this process.
But the nice thing about this process.
Under the eye is it allows me to slowly creep up on my issues.
Is that it allows me to slowly creep up on my issues.
Under the nose, it allows me to make transformation in a natural, healthy way.
And it allows me to make transformation in a natural and healthy way.
Chin, I'm not tapping one thing out and something else in.
I'm not tapping one thing out and something else in.
Collarbone, I'm tapping my way back to natural balance.
I'm tapping my way back to natural balance.
Under the arm. My body's state is health and well-being.
My body's state is health and well-being.
Eyebrow. My body's path is natural healing.
My body's path is natural healing.
Side of the eye. And so if I'm easy with myself.
And so if I'm easy on myself.
Under the eye. And I do this process slowly.
And I do this process slowly.
Under the nose. My body's going to heal in a natural, perfect way.
My body's going to heal in a natural, perfect way.
Chin, it might not happen in the way I expect.
It might not happen in the way I expect.
Collarbone, or as fast as I would like.
Or as fast as I would like.
under the arm, but it's going to make sure it happens safely.
But it will make sure it happens safely.
Eyebrow. I am made for healing.
I am made for healing.
Side of the eye. I deserve healing.
I deserve healing.
Under the eye. I am worthy of this healing.
I am worthy of this healing.
Under the nose. It's safe for me to heal.
It's safe for me to heal.
And really, it's just that simple. And again, if we do these first two steps, what we're going to do is we're going to unleash the natural healing power that the body has.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So once we get to number three, this is when we're really diving into what we want to
Absolutely.
Transform.
Yeah. And in this third step, you know, oftentimes when people are working on an issue, what they'll do is they'll spend a lot of time trying to figure out what the issue is. You know, I'm really agitated at work. Well, why am I agitated at work? Well, my boss doesn't treat me with a lot of respect. And because my boss doesn't treat me with a lot of respect. And so we try and paint the picture as specifically as possible, which is a really good thing to do. But we do that and then we decide to tap. And the nice thing about these tapping protocols is while we are figuring those things out, we can be tapping at the exact same time. That there's no reason for us to tune in and be really specific and then tap. So when I'm doing this third step, when I am tuning into what's going on, what I simply do is I give my right hand permission to tap from point to point. And I'll just tap five or six times on each point as I just try and tune into what's going on. So when we're doing this, we're not necessarily saying any phrases. Now, if we want to be in a circumstance that we want to describe out loud because that's going to help us tune in, that's perfect. And so the example for me in that case would just be I'd be tapping on my eyebrow. I'm really frustrated at work and I tune to the side of my eye. You know, probably because my boss doesn't treat me really well, tapping under the eye. Because when he does that, everybody else looks at me like I'm not worthy of being there. And so I'm just talking through the problem out loud and tuning in, but I'm tapping my way all the way through the process. And so that's all really we're going to do here in step number three.
Okay, wonderful.
Great. Step number four, it's the same type of thing. That we're in a circumstance where now all we're going to do is we're going to keep tapping. And this step typically is really, really short. You know, when you are frustrated and I say, well, where do you feel the frustration? Oh, I'm really tight in my chest. It's really tight in there. You know, it's a really simple thing. This isn't something that's going to take a great deal of time. But what I encourage you to do is take a deep breath, tune into the emotion, and just scan the body and figure out where it is. Now, one caveat here, you might notice that you feel things in two or three places. A really good question to ask yourself, let's say I feel a lump in my throat and tightness in my stomach, is ask the body, is the lump in the throat and the tightness in my stomach the same issue or are they different issues? And if they're different issues, which one do I start with? So we don't have to do it all at once. So if you get multiple kinesthetic feelings, choose one of them to work on.
Now, what happens if you're tapping on a kinesthetic feeling and it begins to change while you're tapping?
I would just follow it.
Okay.
You know, if it's transforming, anytime we have a kinesthetic feeling that's transforming, that's really good news. Even if it's a kinesthetic feeling that's getting worse, like it gets tighter and the pain gets bigger, anytime we see a change in the kinesthetic feeling, it means that we're tuning in more specifically to what's going on, which is going to ensure a success. And if it's transforming where it's changing location or it's changing texture, where it goes from a sharp pain to a dull ache or a big knot to a small knot, just stay with it. That's what we're shooting for. That means progress is happening. And if that starts happening here in this third, fourth, and fifth step before we really start diving in, that's perfect. Because we don't even necessarily need to know the answer sometimes to have us to work out.
Now, as we're doing this, are we just focusing on these feelings and tapping, or are we talking about how they're feeling?
So this is something that I would leave what's up to you that's most comfortable. To go back to the idea that what's important is tuning into what is going on combined with the stimulus and the tapping point. So we don't necessarily need to be speaking. I have found it oftentimes it's easier for me to focus when I'm saying out loud. So when I'm doing those first two steps and I'm tapping like we did before, I'd be saying those phrases out loud. You know, when we start getting into this fifth, sixth, and seventh step, I would certainly do that stuff out loud. It'll be helpful for us to tune in. It's not required, but it'd be helpful. You know, when I'm locating the kinesthetic feeling, I don't have to go, you know, it really feels like a bunch of knots in my stomach. I don't have to say that out loud. You can do it if it's helpful, but it's not necessary.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about giving thanks. And is this something that you incorporate, you start giving thanks while you're tapping, or it's something that you just start thinking about?
This is something that I'm going to do while I'm tapping. So if I'm doing this process, when I start step number one, I'm going to start tapping, and I am not going to stop tapping until I'm done. Now, I'm just going to keep, as I'm thinking, as I'm tuning in, okay, as I'm saying phrases, I'm going to tap the entire time, because it costs us very little to tap physically, and we can always be making progress. Again, going back to this idea, I don't need to spend time tuning into the issue and then tapping on it. Let's just do them both at the exact same time.
Okay.
So even though we're breaking this up into steps, as I was doing it, I would just move from one to two to three, and I would just keep tapping my way through it.
So what does giving thanks sound like? I mean, what's the process that you do?
Yep. So just again, tap the side of the hand, take a nice big deep breath, and just repeat after me. I recognize the symptom is there to serve me.
I recognize the symptom is there to serve me.
Eyebrow. I recognize the symptom is motivated by my care.
I realize the symptom is motivated by my care.
Side of the eye. It might not be producing a good outcome.
It might not be producing a good outcome.
Under the eye. It might be making my life more complicated.
It might be making my life more complicated.
Under the nose. It might even be causing me pain.
It might even be causing me pain.
Chin. But I choose to know.
But I choose to know.
Collarbone. Even if it isn't functioning well.
Even if it isn't functioning well.
Under the arm. It's there to make me better.
It's there to make me better.
Eyebrow. It's motivated by my health and well-being.
It's motivated by my health and well-being.
Side of the eye. I'm not saying the symptoms are good.
I'm not saying the symptoms are good.
Under the eye. I'm not saying the outcome is good.
I'm not saying the outcome is good.
Under the nose. But I give thanks and I appreciate.
But I give thanks and I appreciate.
Chin. The fact that my body is trying to take care of me.
The fact that my body is trying to take care of me.
Collarbone. I understand my body doesn't have an agenda.
I understand my body doesn't have an agenda.
Under the arm. It only wants health and well-being.
It only wants health and well-being.
Eyebrow. In this case, it's just going about it in the wrong way.
In this case, it's just going about it the wrong way.
Side of the eye. I appreciate the fact that it's trying.
I appreciate the fact that it's trying.
Under the eye. And I can change this effort into something good.
And I can change this effort into something good.
And it's really just that simple.
And it's really just that simple.
No, I was saying the process is just that simple. That's fabulous.
Well, it really is just that simple.
It is. Eugene. And again, when we do this, you know, oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes in this step, you are going to notice the symptom relief in some way. The emotion's going to come down. The kinesthetic sense is going to get softer or smaller. It's not always going to happen that way, but it happens that way a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go to number six.
Absolutely. So step number six, all we're going to do is we're just assuring this part. So what we've done when we thanked it, that was the place that we've created this disassociation, that we're now having this conversation with this other part. So we've just thanked it. Now what we're going to do is we're going to assure it that we're not trying to eliminate it. So again, just tap on the side of the hand, take a deep breath. This part of me that isn't functioning perfectly.
This part of me that isn't functioning perfectly.
Eyebrow, I just want to let it know.
I just want to let it know.
Side of the eye, I'm not trying to eliminate it.
I'm not trying to eliminate it.
Under the eye, I want to take its power.
I want to take its power.
Under the nose, I want to take its effort.
I want to take its effort.
Chin, and transform it into something that is really useful.
And transform it into something that is really useful.
Collarbone, I recognize how much power it has.
I recognize how much power it has.
Under the arm, because it has a strong grip over my life.
Because it has a strong grip over my life.
Eyebrow, it wants what's best for me.
It wants what's best for me.
Side of that, I want what's best for me.
I want what's best for me.
Under that, and now we're going to work together.
And now we're going to work together.
under the nose, to transform it into something that truly is good for me.
To transform it into something that truly is good for me.
And again, when we do this step, oftentimes we will notice that there's this sense of that we're going to feel the intensity go down. Oftentimes after we do this step, I'll ask a client, so what do you notice? What does the part feel right now? And they'll say, you know what? That part of me feels really appreciated. And before it didn't feel appreciated, or it really feels like it's part of the system now. And when we see these simple symptoms changing in that way, where and it seems so silly that this tightness in my stomach is going to feel appreciated because I'm thanking it, or it's going to feel excited that we're transforming into something new. But that's really the experience we have when we do this sort of process.
Wonderful. So let's go to the next step.
Okay. So in this next step, what we would do is we would just keep tapping and what we would do is we would just simply start asking it some of these questions, you know?
Now we're asking this, you know, out loud or in our head while we're tapping.
Absolutely. Keep tapping. And, you know, and it's really interesting. You know, I'll be doing it with clients, and I have clients when I'm doing phone sessions with them, they'll do it both ways. Some of them will do it internally as part of the dialogue, and some of them will do it externally. And they'll just say, you know, tightness in my stomach. What's your purpose? Why are you here? And then you just pause and you wait for a response, you know, and just, again, the questions are going to be right there in the workbook page. Just, you know, those four questions are just really perfect examples of things to ask. What's your purpose? What are you afraid of? What are you trying to protect me from? Or why do you exist? You know, and once we recognize that information, that's what's going to allow us to start moving into step eight. And step eight is going to be different every single time you do it.
You know what's so amazing about step seven that I found is how quickly the answers come about, and oftentimes things that you did not think about for a very long time and didn't expect.
My favorite phrase from a client is, you know, this probably has nothing to do with it, but. And any time that something that we think has nothing to do with the issue at hand comes forward, then we know it has everything to do with it. And so I love this step as well because we find really surprising information that, again, our conscious mind never would have found its way to because we're trusting the wisdom of the system.
Definitely.
And I would insert one caveat here. There is going to be times in which we do this process in which no information comes back. What's your purpose? We hear nothing. Why do you exist? We hear nothing, but no information comes back. And I want to assure you that that's okay. And I want to give you a little demonstration of what we can do tapping-wise when that happens that seems to work every single time. And it just goes like this. And just try it. Just start in your eyebrow. This part is not bringing forth any information.
This part is not bringing forth any information.
Side of the eye. And that's perfectly okay.
And that's perfectly okay.
Under the eye. I want the body to heal at the right rate.
I want the body to heal at the right rate.
Under the nose, and I want the body to heal in the right way.
And I want the body to heal in the right way.
And the beautiful part about tapping.
And the beautiful part about tapping.
Collarbone, is I don't even need to know what the core issue is.
Is I don't even need to know what the core issue is.
Under the arm. To provide healing.
To provide healing.
Eyebrow. And so if this part doesn't want to give me information right now.
And so if this part doesn't want to give me information right now.
Side of the eye. That's perfectly okay.
That's perfectly okay.
Under the eye. I give it permission to tell me when it's ready.
I give it permission to tell me when it's ready.
Under the nose. And in the meantime, I'm just going to continue the healing process.
And in the meantime, I'm just going to continue the healing process.
Chin. By tapping on the symptoms as they arrive.
By tapping on the symptoms as they arrive.
And if we do something like that, two things happen. One is our anxiety about not getting information goes away. And we're not really worried. The second thing is 80 to 90% of the time, that part will give us the information. And it's kind of like dealing with a little kid. If a little kid is trying to hide something from you and you keep fighting for it, then they're going to keep hiding it from you. But the instant you become disinterested, they just surrender whatever it is that they were hiding.
Right, right.
The exact same thing happens with these parts. The instant we turn to it and we say, you know what? you're being petulant right now, and that's perfectly okay because you know what's best for you, and I'm just going to keep doing my work on my own. And when you're ready to join the party, you come along with us, and it just opens right up.
Right. Wonderful, wonderful. So with that, we're getting now to almost the final step, number 8.
Yep. So now we provide resources and we do transformation. And so at this point, one of my favorite things to do, and this is one way, this isn't the only way, but this is a really easy way, particularly for beginners to implement so they can see transformation. So once the part has recognized what the problem is, we ask the problem, how would you solve that problem? What do you need in order to get around this fear or this anxiety? You know, it might come back, I'm afraid people are going to judge me, or I failed in the past, I'm going to fail again. Whatever the reason that comes forward is, the next thing we do is we simply ask the part, well, what does it need in order to be able to overcome that and heal that? Do you need some information? Do you need an energy? Do you need an emotion? Do you need all of these things? And oftentimes what we'll get back is, you know, I need confidence. I need love. I need to know how to deal with these circumstances. Whatever the information is, and since we're in this disassociated place, we can now provide it to it. And so once we've named what is needed, once the part has named what is needed, we simply ask it, well, if there was a color associated with that, what color would it be? And if there is a symbol associated with that, what symbol would it be? And so sometimes a color will come forward, sometimes a symbol will come forward, sometimes both will. And then what we do is we simply tap and we see that going in. So I'll give a real specific example so you can kind of see how it is.
Okay.
So I'm in a circumstance, he's a client I worked with this morning. So they were in a circumstance, we tuned into a tightness in their stomach. The tightness was about, they were going to be making some financial decisions and they were worried about how they were going to turn out. And so this part needed the information that things were going to be okay. And it was a really specific investing scheme that was built to protect them. And so the question was, so what are you afraid of? The answer came back from the part that we're going to make poor investing choices. And so we said, well, so I had the client tell them, well, we're using a system that ensures that we get out before we lose.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked the part, how do you need to know this information? What color would be associated with that? And the part said the information would be yellow. And what symbol? And the part said a book. And so what I simply did was had the client start tapping and had the client imagine information going to the part in the form of yellow and in the form of the symbol, and just had it go to and go around and penetrate through the part. And in doing that while we were tapping, the part became transformed.
Wow. And how do you know when transformation has come to play, has really happened, that it's really working?
So we just ask the part, how's it doing?
Mm.
You know, we just keep asking it questions. You know, we also, when we're able to disassociate a part like this, we can say, well, how does the part feel? Well, it feels anxious right now. It feels scared. It feels overwhelmed. It feels disconnected. You know, that we're actually going to see the part transforming and it's going to change. And so the way that we witness when we're giving a friend advice, you know, we see them cheering up, we ask them how we're doing, we do the exact same thing in this relationship with the part. We keep checking in. You know, we give it a resource, we see that it's transformed. Well, what else do you need besides information? You know, well, I need reassurance that if I need help, I can ask for it again. Great, we provide that. And so basically, once we get to the part, we just keep asking it over and over again. How do you feel? What are you afraid of? Why do you exist? What do you need to get past that? And we do that over and over again until that particular part doesn't need anything else.
Great. Okay. Okay. And now, you know, the last step is to return to step number three and retune. How many times do you find that people go through the process, and what's the importance of persistence?
Okay. So how many times do we go through the process? That is going to be different for every single issue that we deal with, because a couple of things are going to happen here. Some issues that we are dealing with have deeper roots than others. You know, an issue that I added to my life last week is not going to have the deep roots that an issue that I added when I was 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that oftentimes the longer it has been around, the deeper it's going to be. That's not always the case, but that's generally the case. The second thing is, and this is something that we touched on earlier in the sense that it was safe to heal, is that there's a certain amount of healing that we can do today, which might not necessarily mean that we have completely eliminated the problem. You know, just because running 1 mile is good, it doesn't mean running 100 miles today is 100 times better. That there's a physical limit for the amount of stuff that I can do. And so it's possible for me to do this process and for me to feel completely cleared of a particular issue. And when I tune into it again tomorrow, there's a part of it that's there. That doesn't mean that we failed. It simply means that we're healing in a natural way. And so what we're doing is we're slowly unpacking what is there. And so after, when I get to step number 9, before I decide to repeat and go back to step number 3, I ask myself, have I done as much healing on this issue as I can do today, or do I continue on? And it's important that that's not an answer that's coming from the conscious mind. It's an answer that we're asking the system the exact same way we were asking the part for information. And this idea of persistence is really, really important. You know, if I'm dealing with an issue that's bigger than I'm just angry at someone who's cut me off on the interstate, but something that's persistent, that's affecting my life, I'm going to revisit it in my regular tapping time, however often I do that. For me, that's something I do daily. Some people might do it 3 times a week. But what I do is, when I come back to sit down to tap again, I revisit the issues I did last time to see if there's still some part of it left. And if there's not, then there's not, and I will revisit it again. And so I will keep revisiting an issue until I revisit it 3 different sessions in a row where nothing comes back. And then I realize that I can move on from it. So this idea of persistence is really important, because just because we've healed now doesn't mean that we've healed all, because we're doing this in such a gentle, natural way, which is good. Sure, we'd like to release everything all at once, but it's good. So coming back and coming back and coming back is really, really important, particularly things that have stuck with us for a long time. They've knit their ways into so many parts of our lives. It's good to knock out all those aspects.
Great. Well, Gene, you've given us so much in this time. If there was one thing that you wished that all the listeners would remember about this process and about really tapping in general, what would it be?
It's be easy with yourself. There's no right, there's no wrong way to do this. To give it a try, and when in doubt, simply ask your system why that thing is there. The system has the higher wisdom. The conscious mind sometimes has it right. The full system, the higher wisdom, has it right so much more often. And just trust yourself to trust yourself. And I know that sounds silly, but in doing that, it's going to allow us to be easy with ourselves as we jump into this.
Gene, thank you so much for sharing this wisdom with us.